A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel ends with my all-time most favorite verse in the entire Bible. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Some people have called me a bit of an overachiever, just a bit. I was a straight-A student in college, which earned me a full scholarship to graduate school. And when I went on to seminary at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago, well, A's weren't quite always good enough. I strove for A pluses, receiving at least 7 of them. And again, some people might call this being an overachiever. Some people even said to me, "Can I lighten up, Laura? It's fine just as it is." Even my own mother has told me I'm too much of a perfectionist. But to me, I felt I had Jesus on my side. Because here's Jesus today, in today's gospel, telling us to be perfect. To be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, I know that I have a long way to go to be perfect like God, so I really knew that I needed to keep working hard and tweaking every project I did. See, to all those naysayers out there, I was following the Bible, or so I thought. When I was taking a biblical ethics course at the seminary, we dealt specifically with today's gospel passage. And it was then that I discovered that the Greek in the last verse, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," is really mistranslated. Rather than as a command to be perfect as an imperative, it really should be translated, "You will become perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." This last verse is intimately intertwined and connected with those preceding teachings of Jesus, to love your enemies, to pray for them, to resist an evildoer, turn the other cheek, don't repay evil with evil. And when you do all of those things all of the time, it's then that you will become perfect like God in heaven. So no longer was this verse a biblical support for my own little neuroses. But wow, it was so much harder. Because what does it mean to love our enemies? It would be so much easier if Jesus had just said to try and just tolerate your enemies. Because loving is a far cry from tolerating, isn't it? I mean, how many of us received Valentine's embossed with an elegant script saying, "I tolerate you," or, "I'm so glad I married the one I tolerate more and more every day." No, not tolerate, but love your enemies. So does this mean that those of us who lean to the left politically or even theologically should do more than just not speak contemptuously of those who might embrace more conservative movements? Does Jesus really, really mean that we should love them like God loves them? And what about those who have maligned us out of stupidity, ignorance, or jealousy? I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time just walking by them. How can I even begin to love them after what they've done to me? And if I am a person of color in the United States, is Jesus really calling me to love, actually love, skinheads, prejudiced people, and even Ku Klux Klan members? As a white Christian woman, I know I see red at their actions, and I can't imagine the explosion of emotions within my brothers and sisters of color. Now, let me get this straight, and let me make this absolutely clear. Jesus says to love our enemies. Loving them does not mean approving of their actions or attitudes. Let me say this again. To love our enemies does not in any way mean we approve or condone their behavior. Gandhi said it really well when he said, "To forgive is not to forget. The merit lies in loving in spite of the vivid knowledge that the one that must be loved is not a friend." And Martin Luther King built upon this when he said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy to a friend." Next to Jesus, I see Gandhi and Martin Luther King as two of the best embodiments of living today's gospel. Gandhi once quipped, "An eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind." Gandhi steadfastly refused to respond with violence. He saw the oppressive English as his brothers, and he taught his fellow Indians not to respond with hate, even while they were being pummeled by English officers. Gandhi's nonviolent protest was greatly admired and became the model for Martin Luther King, who, in following the words and actions of Jesus, changed the course of the United States forever. We can see the same nonviolent model replicated before us in these past few weeks with the people in Egypt as they strove for their own political freedom. Both Gandhi and Martin Luther King, and I hope and pray the people in Egypt, understood that today's gospel is not subtitled "Be a Doormat for Jesus." Jesus encourages his followers to expose evil or oppressive actions in a passive, peaceful, and yet subversive way, while maintaining the dignity of your own humanity. When Jesus says, "When someone sues you for your coat, to give them your cloak as well," Jesus isn't advocating us to roll over and let people take advantage of us. No. By passively, peacefully handing over your coat and your cloak, you're giving both your outer garment and your underclothes. The person is showing the world that this unjust attitude seeks to strip you of all that you own, and therefore, this action now shames the perpetrator into adopting a new attitude The shame isn't in the one standing in the street naked. Shame is upon the one clutching both garments. During the 1960s, people of color in Montgomery, Alabama, were still being told to ride in the back of the bus. And so they applied the message of today's gospel and said, "You want the seats on the bus? Take all the seats." And they walked. They walked and walked and walked, inconveniencing themselves for many, many months while demonstrating to the rest of the country the injustice of segregation and the sin of prejudice. You know, today's gospel might seem so out of our reach because in the span of history, there seem to be very few Gandhis and Martin Luther Kings. And you and I might see how far we might be from the gospel ideal. But Jesus thought that his followers could make a difference if we earnestly tried. Did you know that perfect that I talked about at the beginning of today's homily? Perfect, biblically speaking, means to be whole or complete, not some unattainable, flawless utopia. Following these actions laid out by Jesus will make us complete, will make us whole. It is in living out these actions day by day that we will become whole, that we will become perfect as God is perfect. I don't think we can do it all today. I don't think Gandhi or Martin Luther King did either. It's kind of like learning to play a new instrument. First, you learn an easy 8-measure tune. And then, with daily practice, months after months after months, then you can begin to learn to play Beethoven. Maybe the best we can do today is to not retaliate against those who hate us or do evil. Okay. And with prayer, with one another, and being strengthened and fed by the Word of God and Christ and the Eucharist, maybe tomorrow we can continue or maybe even do a little more. Martin Luther King said that faith is taking the first step, even when you can't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. I like that. Because one step isn't too hard. I can do one step. The thought of an entire sprawling, spiraling staircase might just seem too much. But one step is doable. And step step after step will lead us to perfection. Come on, we can do it. I don't know that I can do it alone, but let's help one another in our parishes, in our work, in our family, in our Dominican communities. Let's grab hands and hold on tight and take that first step. Let's lock arms and lives and hearts and together, let's climb that staircase of love and nonviolence, and together, we will become perfect, whole and complete, as our Heavenly Father is.